the well-known saying that people like to quote, that Yom Kippurim Kippurim. That to an extent, Yom Kippur has similarities to Purim. We usually talk about this kind of shiur by Purim to show how special Purim is, but I want to flip it and actually learn that Yom Kippur has similarities to Purim, in as much that, as we know, it is very difficult for a person to be in touch with who they really are. It's very difficult to know who we really are. And the Gemara says a person can determine his character by testing three levels of the person's ability to deal with. Bekisui, bekoisui, ubekasui. Bekisui, when it comes to a person's money, you get a person who sometimes is very relaxed and very kind and very compassionate and very understanding. It's like interfering with his money, he loses it. So you can really see where the depth of the person is when it comes to his money. But koisoi is with his cup. When he drinks, you see the real nichnas yayin yotzasoid. The wine goes in, the secrets come out. And bekasoi in his anger. You can really see the depth of a person. Everything else is covered up until then. So in other words, Purim is a time when one actually gets to know certain hidden things that are deep inside a person. Yom Kippur is the same thing. Yom Kippur is not a day where we act in a different way. I'd like to suggest, as you're going to see now, that Yom Kippur is what we really are, and the rest of the year we're really acting. There's a famous pitgam, there's a famous expression from Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, and he said this in Yiddish. He used to say, a mensch darf ton, a person has to do. Ton, to do, or nicht noch ton, and not to copy. A person mustn't mimic. A person's got to do without mimicking. Ton, or nicht opton. Doing, and not just to get it over with. Yeah? And in other words, there's a concept over here where a person has to be real with himself. A person cannot pretend to be something that he isn't. To such an extent, there's interesting Gemara. It's a medrash brought down in Bereishis Rabbah in Samachay Tezayin. Rav Shimon Gamliel says his whole life he was very careful to treat his father in a way that was fully respectful. But he says, I didn't treat my father even 1% the way Esau treated his father. Why? He says, when I come to my father, I'd come to my father in my dirty work clothes, my regular clothes, and I'd give him what he needs. I'd give him, feed him his lunch, feed him his supper in my work clothes. Esav, every time he went to look after his father, he would wear big din malchus. Not Shabbos clothes, big din malchus, clothes of royalty. And he'd walk in to his father. So he was jealous of Esav. So the Balaam Musa asks, if you're so jealous, why did you just buy yourself a pair of whatever this big din malchus is, get it online, and go along and dress up them and go into your father? Why be jealous? Do it. Change. The answer is, because if you're not up to there, if you're not holding at that level of being mechabed your father in that way, and you're just doing something because you're copying, you're mimicking somebody else, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. Another Gemara. The Gemara says that Ma'ukva says, I am like choymeitz ben yayin legabe abo. I am like vinegar compared to my father. Why? My father, he says, she'la abo kasha ochal bosa, when he ate meat today, you not eat cheese until the next day. And I don't eat in that Suda, and the next Suda I do eat. Again, so don't eat cheese, copy your father, be in that level of copying your father, mimic your father's actions, and don't eat cheese till the next day. Why do you compare yourself to your father and say, I'm so much lower level? So try, rise to that level. The Teretz is, said the Bala Musa, that a person is not allowed, it is unhealthy for a person to pretend to be something that they aren't. It is important to know who you are, to know what position you're in, and gently and carefully grow and nurture your neshama to reach that stage. But to pretend to be something else, to dress like Esav, because that's what he did and you're not holding there, that is not something that we should do. We could be jealous of one day hopefully reaching that level, but we don't mimic, we don't pretend to be something we aren't. If that's the case, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky asks in the Sefer, Vigalator, he asks, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Narachayim, Tov Reish Yud, Seif Dalad in the Ramah, Noagu lilboish levonim is a minhag to wear white clothes. Men wear a kittel, women wear white clothing. Nekiim b'yom kippur, dugmas malachei ashoris. To be similar to malachim. We're supposed to dress like angels. So we are dressing in white clothes because we're trying to mimic angels. It's not healthy to mimic. It's wrong to mimic. That's not what we should be doing. Not in that. The Gemara says in it's Pirkei Beleza and it's a medrash. Yesh l'cho am echod k'malachei ashoris b'shamayim. On Yom Kippur, we are like malachei ashoris. Malachei ashoris don't eat and drink, so we don't eat and drink. Malachei ashoris have shalom b'nehem, we also have peace between us. Malachei ashoris don't wear shoes, we also don't wear shoes. Malachei ashoris srofim oimdim ma'aloi. Very interesting. Malachim stand. They have like 1 foot, they stand the whole time. So to Yom Kippur, we also stand the whole time. You see, there's a makor here to stand during Yom Kippur as much as one can. Right? So again, we are mimicking malachim. It's not healthy to mimic. It's not us. What is this idea? What are we doing? So Yavka Galinsky said a beautiful story that happened with him. Yavka Galinsky, as you know, was a Rosh Hashiva, and he learnt as a boy in Nevaduk. He was in the same yeshiva as a stipler. He learnt in the Vaduk. And he was, with the yeshiva, they were sent, in the Second World War, they were sent to Siberia. And he was in the same camp, in the same prison camp, as the heads of the Lithuanian elitists. Not Lithuanian yeshiva. The Lithuanian elitists. In other words, the Russians have come there and completely knocked out Lithuania. And they took the Lithuanian elitists, the education minister, the finance minister, the defense minister, the bankers, the top elitist group, and put them in that camp. And the higher you were in the government, the lower the job they gave you. So you had the finance minister, the defense minister, was cleaning the toilets. That was his job. In order to take them and to completely destroy their morale. Rabbi Yavka Galinsky was in the same barracks as the defense minister of the Lithuanian army. And they knew Rabbi Yaakov. Yaakov didn't bother anybody. I don't think he could if he tried. Yavka Galinsky was probably around less than 5 foot. A giant of a man, but in stature he was very short. And they weren't worried about him too much. One night, Yaakov Galinsky sees everything's quiet, and this man takes out a suitcase from under the bed, and he does the most bizarre thing. He takes it out, opens it up, and starts dressing in an army uniform. He puts on the clothing, he puts on the hat, he puts a sword in his side there. And he starts walking around, marching, saluting, putting his legs up in the way that they have the army walks. The most bizarre stuff. And then, after 10 minutes, he quickly takes it off, puts it underneath, and climbs back into bed just before the Russians come in to call them for roll call in the morning. So Yaakov sidled up to him during the day when they're cutting wood and said to him, what's all this about? Oh, what are you doing? I mean, you're obviously an intelligent person. What are you acting like a goat for? What's all this about? He said, I've got to tell you. He said, the fact that I am, at this stage in time, not a general, the fact that I have been taken from my great position and put into this lowly position doesn't really bother me. Gal chizabot ilam. The world has ups and downs. I'm up, I'm down, I'll be up again. That doesn't really bother me that much. What bothers me is that they don't treat me with respect. What bothers me is that they're trying to take away my morale. They're trying to make me feel that I am nothing. And that is what I cannot allow myself to feel. Because if I allow myself to feel that, I'm completely lost. And therefore, every now and then, when I feel a little bit low, I get dressed up in these clothing, and I look at myself in the mirror, and I see the general or the defense minister of the Lithuanian army. And I salute, and at that moment, I know who I really am. And they can't do anything. They cannot break my morale because I know who I really am. They can call me whatever they wish and they can beat me. They can do whatever they want. But I know who I am. And that gives me my backbone. That gives me the ability to stand up to any kind of torture or torment or any kind of thing that they're trying to do to me. I can stand up to that. Says Yaakov Galinsky. That's how he understood what we are on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day where we act like we really were at the beginning. Elokai neshama shenasati b'tahirihi. We're tahir. Shlomo HaMelech says, "B'chol eis yiu b'gdecha levonim." Pasuk in Keheles, Tesches. Every day, at every moment, your clothes should be clean. Says Rashi, "Nishmoscha tahiru nekiya." Your neshama is tahir and clean. Why? Because that is who we were at the beginning. Neshama shenasati b'tahirihi. G'doylim sadikin yosim alechi asharis, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. In other words, what we are doing in Yom Kippur is dressing as what we really were when we started. Dressing what we really can be in the future. We're not acting. We're remembering what we really are. We're remembering that everything else, or the dirty clothing that we're wearing the rest of the year, that's an act. That is something from the outside. That is something that is foreign. But what we really are deep down, on Malachi Ashores, nothing less. And we're getting back to where we are. We're dressing who we really are. Dressing back in our uniforms. So we're not mimicking. We are ourselves. The rest of the year, unfortunately, we're being disguised with chet. We're being covered up with this clothing that the Malachi Chavala, that the Yetzer Hara wants us to dress in. But that's not who we really are. The question really is, therefore, how does one get back to where we really are? So we dress in nice white clothing. How do we really get back to where we are? How does Yom Kippur do that? So there's a very, very interesting Gemara in Masechtas Gittin. And it's a puzzling Gemara. The Gemara says that when is a person allowed to divorce his wife? You remember this Gemara?
The very end,
the last Mishnah in Gittin, when is a person allowed to divorce a wife? There's a Machlekus Tanoim. Beisham I say, Leigarish Odom es Ishtoi, a person may not divorce his wife, Ela imkein Motzabo Erevas Dovo, unless he finds something immoral that she is doing, then a person allowed to divorce his wife. But if not, you're not allowed to. Beis Hillel say, Afilu Hikdicho Tavshiloi, even if she burnt the pot, even if she burnt the food, that is enough of a basis to divorce a wife. Rabbi Akiva, who knew what marriage is all about, he knew the incredible mesiras and nefesh of his wife, Rachel, who married him as a simple man and went through 24 years of loneliness and suffering, that her husband came to God Lador. What did he say? When can he divorce your wife? Afilu motza acheres noahemeno. Even if you find one nicer than her, more attractive than her, then you can get rid of the wife. Move on. Very puzzling Mishnah. And it's different pshatim. The Sifsei Koyin in Devarim Chof Dalad Aleph, on the Meforshim, well-known Meforsh, he asks Rabbi Kiva, Beisham Beisilal, we don't know who Beisham Beisilal were. Okay? Beisham was a yeshiva. Beisilal. But Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says such a thing. A woman, a wife, is a chelik of one's guf. It's a chelik of one's neshama ishu kugufoi. You find something more attractive, that's it, you move on. How can one understand such a thing? So he says that this Mishnah is a moshel. It's a moshel. I'm not saying that's not the halacha. That's not telling us halacha as well. But the Mishnah is used as a moshel. And he says, in this world, the first thing one has to understand when one wants to make a change in one's life and get back to being a Malachi Ashores is one has to give a get to Olam Hazeh and Kedushim to Olam Abo. We have to remarry. We have to break away with a past marriage and begin a new marriage. The Yetzer Hara takes us and is Ke'ilu bound to us, is married to us. We are responsible to the Yetzer Hara. We've got to cut that marriage. We've got to break that away. Get rid of him and start something else new. And there are three times, there are three different areas where a person can understand clearly, listen to this, where a person can understand clearly why it's wrong for him to be married to this Yetzer Hara, why it's important to break that bind to start off anew. One case is when the Beis Shammai's case, he finds that Erev Astova, he finds that Yetzer Hara is making him do Averus. He's really under the Yetzer Hara is destroying his life in Ruchnius. He's destroying his life. That is the first case. When a person finds that Yetzer Hara is destroying his life, he finds that Erev Astova, that he's doing crazy Averus, he knows and he realizes it's a time to leave the Yetzer Hara behind, to break away, to make a krisus, to make a cut from the Yetzer Hara, to go back to where he came from. That's Beis Shammai. Says Beis Hillel, why wait till that stage? Why wait to the stage when doing Averus? Afilo hikdicha tavshiloi. Even if you're not doing a chet, an actual chet, but you realize that it's a burnt pot, is a smell of a Yetzer Hara. He realizes that there's no point, it's tasteless. The world does not have taste with not being connected to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Forget about doing Avera, but even without doing Avera, but just Poshut not being connected to the Rebbeinu Shleilam is lacking in quality of life. That is already an instigator to break away from the Yetzer Hara. Says Rebbe Akiva, we have to wait till they have to see that how bad Chet is, that it's not. Adarabba, on the contrary, see the quality of life of Isha Acheres, Noah Himeno. If you see how much more beautiful the world is by connecting to the Rebbeinu Shleilam in a way that is meaningful, then you wouldn't even have a Yetzer Hara in the first place. Then you wouldn't even find that there's even a desire to follow the Yetzer Hara. There's such a qualitative difference. It's so much better to be connected to Rebbeinu Shleilam than there's no point being the Yetzer Hara. And Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky again gives a story that happened with him. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky was learning in the Varduk, yeah? And the Varduk then was in a place called Bialystok. So his Rosh Hashiva, Avram Yaffin, was afraid that before the war, with the Nazis, what was going on with the Nazis, that they weren't allowing Jews to buy pieces of land. Technically, the yeshiva was not registered. They bought the yeshiva, but it was not registered in a land registrar that belonged to the yeshiva. And he was afraid that with what's going on, they would lose the rights to the yeshiva unless they get it registered. So he called Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky in, and he said to Rabbi Yaakov, you're short of stature. No one's going to start up with you. Go along all the way to the capital and register the yeshiva. Go to Varsha. Go to Varsha. Go to. Go